Hello, everybody. Our topic for rumination this week is in an area that I don't usually address here in community. I do in workshops or other media outlets, but I'm not here. I'm bringing up a topic today that falls inside the category of grief. Did you notice I said grief, not grief? I'm not all somber, and my tone is not serious or diminished. Because not all grief is bad or scary. There's a lot to be learned and gained within the framework of grief. So I'm not sad or somber. I will, however, be going a little more slowly than is my norm. There's a kind of grief that may be new to you. Knowing about it will help you and others to better respond in certain instances. Plenty of people tell me they don't know what to say or do in grief situations. So let us today examine anticipatory grief. Now, if you're asking yourself, what's that? What might I need to know about this? Then you'll want to lean in on this one. In my duties as a patient advocate, I encounter lots of serious situations. There are hard conversations, somber and solid education to deliver, and my clients sometimes must make tough decisions. Not all outcomes are good. Sometimes the work is to help others understand and manage their life toward an outcome that is ending in death, that of the patient or of their loved ones. It's good work, I tell you. Having been in this type of work for over 11 years, I can now tell you that there's so much beauty found inside every journey. Today, I'm covering a special time and one that provides opportunities. It's the phenomenon of anticipatory grief. What is anticipatory grief? Anticipatory grief is a state of deep and painful sorrow that occurs before an impending loss. It can affect people facing an impending death of a loved one or their own death. Anticipatory grief, also known as preparatory grief, is more than just normal grieving that starts early. It's often regarded as a way to process and resolve issues related to a dying person or a life-changing event. It can provide a means to proactively address your feelings and the consequences coming from a loss, dealing with them now rather than after the fact. Anticipatory grief can help people cope by planning and preparing for the loss. I experienced this kind of thing myself prior to my father's passing. I didn't know what it was, except that I felt and did weird things. As my father entered into serious decline and toward his end of life, I felt a generalized sense of uneasiness. I found myself engaging in a weird mode of retail therapy, meaning shopping. I do like to go to thrift stores, always on the hunt for a bargain, but this retail therapy made for a great distraction or a pattern interrupt after a stressful visit with my father. What was weird during my shopping was that I felt compelled to peruse the clothing, especially dresses in black or navy. But why? My father had made it clear to us that he wanted no memorial service or a gathering of any kind. I would need no traditional funeral attire. What was driving me to do this? It seemed some sort of preparation, a time for rumination and processing. I would simply rifle through the racks and mull and welcome the distraction. Looking back, I now think that I was experiencing anticipatory grief. Who experiences anticipatory grief and when? Well, when someone is receiving or becoming aware of a loved one who's received a terminal diagnosis, such as stage 4 cancer. Maybe they're being diagnosed with a progressive disease like Alzheimer's or cystic fibrosis, muscular dystrophy, or macular degeneration. Maybe learning that an unborn baby has congenital or developmental disorder. When somebody has had to address end-of-life care, such as an entry into hospice. Having to undergo amputation or potentially disfiguring medical procedures like a mastectomy or colostomy. Life-changing situations such as impending divorce, a child leaving home for college, or having to move out of one's house. The deterioration and impending death of a pet. How is anticipatory grief different from grief after death? Anticipatory grief is like conventional grief after death because they do both involve lots of emotions. But with conventional grief, the emotions you experience are a direct result of the consequences of a loss. Anticipatory grief is oftentimes described as a roller coaster because the person can shift back and forth between feelings of distress for several days and feelings of normalcy for several days. Anticipatory grief can begin as soon as somebody becomes aware of a change, whether formally or by way of a feeling or an inkling. For example, when somebody's told that a loved one may soon die, anticipatory grief can be felt immediately, or they could experience a delay in the anticipatory while they first process the information about this diagnosis or change. But let's not complicate it. Let's just look at it. And in doing so, we begin to see and realize some opportunities. Feeling grief while your loved one is still alive does not mean you're abandoning your loved one or giving up. Instead, anticipatory grief may give you a chance to gain meaning and closure that you might not otherwise have had. You may feel like you're somewhere between holding on and letting go. Some people find that very painful. They may feel that they're betraying their loved one if they lean at all toward letting go. You don't have to choose. It's possible to live with both holding on and letting go at the same time. What are some symptoms of anticipatory grief? Well, this kind of grief can come with lots of emotions, including anxiety and guilt and fear and irritability. You might be losing sleep or having problems concentrating, making decisions, or remembering things. All those symptoms are completely normal. You may have roller coaster emotions. You may have intense sadness. Tearfulness comes out of nowhere and is easily triggered. Another term for a triggered event is often called a grief burst. Grief bursts just are that. They come out. Another symptom may be fear, irritability, and anger. You know, there's a fear of death, as well as the fear of changes that follow a death. In addition to dealing with our own anger or fear, a person may have to deal with the anger of a dying person. There's also loneliness and isolation and anxiety. Persons experiencing anticipatory grief often find that others are backing away from them during a serious health crisis. On the other hand, somebody with anticipatory anxiety will often feel lethargic or unmotivated and will readily withdraw from some social situations. Many report that they feel like they're living in a state of heightened anxiety and they'll manifest trembling or edginess or racing heart and all kinds of other symptoms. Another symptom of anticipatory grief is guilt. Feelings of guilt can occur when a person who has begun to grieve wants a loved one to be free of their pain, even if it means them dying. Or they may feel the opposite. They may want the loved one to stay, even if it means suffering. We now begin to shift into solution, because y'all know that is where I like to hang out. There are positive aspects to anticipatory grief. There's benefits. Anticipatory grief may help people sort out their feelings and prepare for moving forward. Many bereavement experts will say that anticipatory grief provides opportunities for someone to confront their fears rather than avoid them. Deal with any unfinished business, practical and emotional. Clarify any misunderstanding or express what should have been said earlier. It allows opportunities for people to say their goodbyes. Plenty of people express regret that they had no or could not say goodbye. Here is an opportunity. And it provides a chance for people to make preparations for their life moving forward. So anticipatory grief may literally be good grief. How is anticipatory grief managed? It can be hard to control emotions, especially if the person's all over the place or feels like they ought to be able to have a handle on everything. This is new turf for a lot of people. A person experiencing anticipatory grief may be alone in their perspective. People who don't have a loved one who is facing death may have no way of understanding how the grieving person feels. And somebody who's been through the death of a loved one will likely have experienced it differently. We have to find our own way, one that fits. So here's some ideas. Talk to somebody. Find a friend who doesn't judge and will let you express your feelings. This person needs to be a good listener and should not try to tell you how you should feel. If your friend then tries to share unwanted advice, speak up. Let your friend know that you need them to listen and not try to fix things. Many times as we speak aloud to another person and share our thoughts, they'll gel. We'll gain clarity and understanding, and a bit of resolution arrives. Do include children. You know, children also experience anticipatory grief, and they need to be included in this process. Talking about death with children who have a seriously ill parent has been shown to be helpful. It can decrease anxiety, depression, or behavioral problems. Children need to know that they'll be cared for after a death. Children need to understand that they won't be abandoned. So it's just as important for kids to work through their grief. Like adults, children need a safe place to express themselves. One place where children respond is inside of art therapy. And hospice groups and bereavement programs have developed some solid techniques to help the younger ones in our lives. Then there's journaling. Is there ever a time that journaling is not beneficial? It works here too. Journaling can help people make sense of their thoughts as they write them down. For example, journaling can be used to communicate with or about the person who will soon pass. It can help to figure out what a new life might look like. There's a lot online about this and to get somebody started with journaling. Next is practicing forgiveness. Forgiveness can be healing. Learning to forgive yourself or another, learning to forgive yourself is just as important as learning to forgive others. The time before death can be very emotional, there may be the anger and resentment among those involved. This anticipatory time can be used to resolve differences. I love the phrase that I came across about resentment. That phrase is, resentment is the poison you prepare for another and drink yourself. Think about that one. It's deep. Listening is an important first step in forgiveness. Two people can sometimes say the same things, but just in different ways. At other times, you may continue to disagree with what your loved one's saying, even beyond talking it through. Sometimes the matter just hangs. Allow me to share a key approach that I learned from a trusted friend. We were talking to work through a resentment I held, a beef I had with another person. And after I had said my piece, he posed this question to me. Would you rather be happy or would you rather be right? Upon hearing that, I let go. Letting go of resentment and pain from the past can be very freeing. Give yourself and perhaps another the gift of forgiveness. My two cents about grief and anticipatory grief. Recognize, but don't feel the need to pursue stages of grief in any certain order. Remember also that grief doesn't fit in any neat or tidy category or stage. Even though stages for grief and anticipatory grief have been developed by bereavement experts, I think those stages are meant more for recognition or acknowledgement of grief, not the order in which one must experience it. We can give ourselves permission to feel however we feel, whether it's during the time leading up to one's death or the days, weeks, months, or even years after. Grief is not time limited. There is no order in which you must grieve nor complete it. There's no one way to grieve. Just be sure that you do. I hope something that I've shared today helps you to move more comfortably forward in life. Thanks, everybody.